Well, that wasn't exactly the reaction I was expecting. 12 months on from the hepatitis A scare in frozen imported berries, the local industry says it's the best thing that's ever happened. Demand for Australian berries remains high, and some farmers are banking on that remaining the case, investing in new equipment and new plantings. Although, as the lettuce industry has demonstrated very well in the last week, maintaining those food standards is key. Laura Poole has more.
Local berry growers believe they've got a bright future.
The supermarkets have obviously made a judgment call that the consumer is prepared to pay a bit more, which is a good thing. A good thing for farmers, a good thing for horticulture nationally.
Australian Blueberry Growers Association President Greg McCulloch says there'll be growth for years to come. And despite the hepatitis scare forcing Victorian-based manufacturer Paddy's Foods to sell its interest in frozen fruit, the local industry is ramping up.
You don't stick something in the ground and pick it next week. These things are seasonal. It takes, if you're looking at raspberries, you're looking at probably 12 months. Blueberries, the northern growing regions, they're probably 12, 18 months. Down south here where I am, we're looking at about 3 to 5 years before we'd see an increase on new plantings here.
So do you think it's fair to say that the ramifications of the contamination will be seen even in a decade's time in the way the Australian industry is set up?
If I could make that call, I'd be betting on next year's Melbourne Cup now, wouldn't I?
Matilda's Australian Frozen Fruit, established following the hepatitis incident, is betting the smoothie industry will keep its bottom line looking good. It sources fruit from farms in Victoria's Mornington Peninsula and the Yarra Valley and from Queensland's Sunshine Coast. It's invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in equipment to freeze berries and launched its product into some Australian supermarkets at the end of last year. Matilda's co-founder, Ruth Galais.
What has taken a little bit longer was literally building a factory from the ground up. We looked at lots of different ways of doing this and we came to the conclusion, as we know sort of in the past, that we've got to get it right, we've got to do it in a way, we've got to do it our way. I have a daughter with anaphylaxis and it was quite important to me that this, you know, part of being a product that people could trust, that we're only processing fruit on this packaging line. So we looked at many different ways, including using existing facilities at other producers, and it just wasn't right for us. I didn't want any risks associated with this product.
So what sort of investment has there been in that processing side of the business and freezing side?
It's been pretty significant. So it's literally the factory from the ground up, some very specialised machinery. A lot of learning and a lot of time.
Do you think, you know, you'd be in this position now if there hadn't been that scare 12 months ago?
That's a great question. Probably not. It's something that we have looked at extensively prior to the hepatitis A scare, but it didn't seem to be commercially viable. So it's definitely the consumer's awareness around fruit origin that I think has made people realise, all right, well, you know, those berries look really, really cheap, but they're cheap for a reason.
Well, cheap or expensive, it's how and where food is produced that's increasingly a priority. Australian shoppers have long been frustrated by food labels, which offer little insight into where their contents were grown or made. And 1 year after former Prime Minister Tony Abbott launched what he called an urgent reform process for country of origin labelling, nothing has changed. But despite the slow progress, there is hope among consumer advocates and a begrudging acceptance among the food industry that change is coming. Anna Vito has the story.
It's been a year since frozen berries imported from China were linked to a string of hepatitis cases across three states. What followed was an outcry about imported food, whether it measures up to Australian standards, and yet another push to get clearer labelling onto food packaging to tell shoppers what's local and what's not. After surviving an aborted attempt on his leadership, former PM Tony Abbott latched on to country of origin labelling reform as an urgent issue for his government.
The people of Australia want better country of origin labelling, and this government is determined to deliver it to them.
But shoppers haven't seen any change to labelling laws in the year since that press conference. Tom Godfrey from Consumer Group Choice.
They've run a very comprehensive process, which we were supportive of, and I think the consultation with consumers along the way has been really good. But where we're at is essentially some recommendations from the government that go some of the way to solving the problem, but they're not quite there yet.
The government has picked the labels it prefers, but it hasn't yet finalised them or got them through Parliament. Tom Godfrey says the proposal works in saying how much of a product is Australian, but fails at making it clear where imported food actually comes from.
So a label like Made in Australia from 0% Australian ingredients, it's telling you nothing about the origin of the product, which you'd have to say is not so helpful in a country of origin labelling scheme. So what we'd like to see is some pretty firm recommendations from the government that help clarify that around characterising ingredients. And interestingly, some of the bigger retailers in the market are already doing it. We're seeing one supermarket actually calling out the characterising ingredients on pack as part of their country of origin labelling statement. And that's helpful because we want to get to a position where consumers are able to make an informed choice.
And in the absence of legislation, supermarkets aren't the only ones acting on their own.
You've actually seen an upsurge in provenance and Australianness information on packaging. And that's been done voluntarily. It's been a response to the heightened consumer and public awareness. And in a sense, that's been something that's been in response to the move by the government, but not required by it.
Gary Dawson is Chief Executive of the Australian Food and Grocery Council, which represents Australian food manufacturers. They've long expressed concern about the cost and the complexity of accurately reflecting homegrown content in many packaged foods, some of which can see their Australian content vary significantly with the seasons.
Labels are often printed in advance. A small business in particular might do, like, print off 2 or 3 years' worth of labels to get them cheaper. But of course, when a consumer looks at a label on a packet, they quite rightly expect that what it says on the label is what's in that actual packet. And so it's very hard to deal with that seasonal variation. It's not a simple problem. There's a proposal that's been put forward is around averaging and an ability to average, and there's a link that to more information on a website. And that's one of the areas that companies are looking at closely to see if it is practical, to see if it is workable. The government's been very receptive. They had an open door to hear the feedback from the industry on that.
But after years of fighting against country of origin labelling changes, this time the industry seems to have accepted that change is inevitable.
No one should be any doubt that the government's determined to press ahead with this. You know, that's been clearly signalled. We certainly have pointed them to the fact that in many cases, companies are voluntarily providing way more than the mandated level of information, typically where they know there'll be a consumer response. In other words, it makes good sense from a marketing point of view. We've certainly argued that there are market mechanisms there already in this space, but look, no one's under any illusion that it is coming.
Industry Minister Christopher Pyne is leading the reform process. He wasn't available to be interviewed for this story, but in a statement, a spokeswoman for the minister said the proposed reform is the most significant change to country of origin labelling for food in decades, and it's important that the time is taken to get it right. She said the reforms are expected to be finalised and tabled in Parliament towards the middle of the year.
Away from berries now, it was also a week of change in federal politics as Trade Minister Andrew Robb announced his retirement, followed closely by Nationals leader Warren Truss. Now there's a new but no doubt familiar Deputy PM in town in Barnaby Joyce. Rural constituents, farm lobby groups and existing MPs will no doubt be wondering what's in store for both the future of the Nationals and the trade portfolio. Larry Anthony is the current Federal Director of the Nationals. He spoke with our Regional Affairs reporter Lucy Barber.
I think for Barnaby it'll be his authenticity and also the ability that he has to communicate very much on a retail level. He's absolutely genuine. I think he's an extremely forceful advocate for regional and rural Australia, and it's his authenticity that I think will be his trademark.
He does polarise opinion, as we said, in the Parliament and in the public. How are you going to tame him if he does take on the role?
Well, he's been a ruthless advocate and a champion for the regional Australia. So I think when he gets into that senior leadership role, if he is, as a National Party leader, and I do expect that, then you have to obviously modify your behaviour. It's a slightly different role, but nonetheless, I think those qualities that Barnaby has are actually the qualities that a lot of people want to see, particularly in regional rural Australia, and also those perhaps right of centre. So I think what he brings to the National Party will be another era of significant achievement.
But how will that fit with the Liberals, do you think? How will the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, work with someone like Barnaby Joyce, who is incredibly outspoken, and when someone like Warren Truss hasn't necessarily rocked the boat a great deal?
Well, the beauty of democracy and the human species is that we're all different. And I think that the relationship that Malcolm, the Prime Minister, and Warren, and Barnaby have is a very good relationship. And I think in many ways they'll complement each other. Clearly the Prime Minister is very popular in urban Australia. Barnaby is very popular in regional and rural Australia, right of centre. So in many ways the broad church between the National Party and the Liberal Party, you have two leaders that will reach out to a very broad spectrum of the Australian public. And, of course, that's what is needed in the forthcoming election.
The next big question will be who goes into Cabinet, what roles do they take on? Barnaby Joyce is obviously the Minister for Agriculture and Water Resources at the moment. Do you expect that he will take on infrastructure within his current portfolio, perhaps? Do you want trade back for the Nationals? What's the situation there?
Well, look, ultimately that'll be a decision really for Barnaby Joyce and, of course, other members of the senior leadership. That'll be determined later on tonight. But I would imagine Barnaby's outstanding in agriculture. Perhaps he might want to continue that for a while. But again, it's not my role to predict what the portfolios will be.
But it is your role to, in the lead up to the next election, shape the party, give them direction. What direction would you like to see them having in the next few months? And what sort of policies will the Nats be taking to the next election? What will they be campaigning on?
Well, I think the first issue is... When they select the leader tonight, as I said, I think it will be Barnaby Joyce, is the National Party has a lot of longevity in leaders. Even when Warren Truss was leader of the party for a very long time, he was under four different Liberal administrations. So stability is the first priority. Uniting the party, particularly the 21 members, the six senators and the 15 members of the House of Representatives in the Federal National Party. So I think that's a key priority. There'll be those allocations of portfolios. Still, the emphasis for the National Party has always been in a lot of primary production, which is agriculture, in those portfolios of transport and regional development, portfolios that Fiona Nash does, of course, in regional health, and the other portfolios that are allocated by the leader and, of course, the Prime Minister. So, look, I really think the issues will be on growth, will be on stability. And, of course, it's up to the government, of course, of the strategy of what they adopt in the next coming weeks or months as we go into an election.
And that's a wrap for this week. Thanks to John Jacobs for technical production. Next week, we're going to take a look at proposed media reforms in regional Australia. I'm Edwina Farley. Hope you can stay with us, though, here on RN.